The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 13. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So it was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, please, be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Today is a truly significant day. It is the end of a chapter that has taken almost 10 years to write. This chapter has been written with the help of many truly great and amazing people. Each person as beautiful as the other, sharing their wisdom, their knowledge, their strengths and their weaknesses, their support, their friendship, and their love. In this chapter there has been many locations, from the Church of St. Lawrence's at Caboolture to Holy Trinity at Kiwana, from the beautiful heights of Mount Beatitude in Israel to the humbling entrance to Christ's tomb in Jerusalem. Each location offering the many gifts and experiences that they have to share. This has been 10 years of learning and formation. I have proudly obtained a university degree, something that in the past I would have never thought I'd be capable of. As I've walked this path for the last 10 years, I have been formed, I have been changed, I have learned so much about myself, about life, and most of all, about God. This 10-year chapter of people, places, learning and formation has all come from God and the path that God put me on. And to God, I am eternally grateful. As I was praying over what to say, what to share on this significant day, I indeed began to reminisce over the last 10 years and what I have observed and experienced. Then the question came to me, Aaron, what makes a great church? From what you have learned, from what you have experienced, what makes a great church? Not just a good church, but a great church. This question is especially important because very soon a new chapter will begin that involves a direct impact on contributing to the greatness of a church. And to be honest, I suspect that I'm not unlike any fledgling clergy, because we all know that I will make the world great. I will make it a better place, beginning it soon. After reminiscing about all the people, locations and personal formation, the strongest constant factor that made all these experiences so memorable was love. Love shared with the people I was with, love of experiences and stories that each location brought with it, the overwhelming love and support that God provided over those formative years. The answer to what makes a church great is love. Love for the people of the church. Love for the location of the church and the people in that location, within that community. Love for the witnessing of the ongoing formation being shared with each other and with God. The answer is love. This answer of love begins with a genuine love for God the Father, love for Jesus Christ, and the love for the Holy Spirit. Please note that I individually named the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is not to take away from the glory and majesty of the Divine Trinity. This is to fully and mindfully give and share our love with each individual that is the Holy Trinity. It was not until I came to HTK that I realized how much acknowledgement we as a church and congregation give to God and to Jesus, as is right to do so, but how little acknowledgement is given to the Holy Spirit in other churches I've been to. Reverend Steve's encouragement to open the wells of the Spirit and the involvement of the Holy Spirit definitely contributes to part of the greatness of HTK. Love for God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is without a doubt first and foremost in the greatness of any church. It also ties in with a piece of scripture that has been so strongly established in my heart over the past 10 years. From the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 to 31. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This powerful scripture reminds us to genuinely and fully love God. Imagine how great a church would be if everyone loved God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength. Now ask yourself, is this possible for the whole of a church congregation to love God so fully, so genuinely, and so strongly? The answer is yes. And let the answer always remain yes. Because as soon as we start thinking, no, it's impossible, then it will be. But let us not stop there. The second part of the scripture was the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Again, also stop and think for a minute and imagine how great a church would be if everyone loved their neighbor as themselves. This commandment plays a vital role in making a church great, not just because it tells us to love and treat each other with respect. It reminds us to love our neighbor, which includes everyone outside the church walls and in our communities and workplaces. Just as a person keeps their house clean so that when others visit or come to stay, they are made to feel welcome and comfortable, we also must keep our church clean from hatred, jealousy, and gossip, so that all who enter will feel loved, respected, comfortable, and welcome. The church is God's household. Therefore, it is perfect sense to understand that it is love that holds it together and keeps God's household clean. Each and every Sunday, just before we approach the Lord's table, it is rightfully proclaimed, we are the body of Christ. In other words, through Christ, we come together as one body in the love we have for God and for each other. This is then followed by the encouragement of peace to be upon us all. Peace in the Lord be always with you. Traditionally, this is when we greet each other in peace, as we say, peace be with you. I say the word traditionally because traditionally, what also tends to happen is that the greeting of peace is sometimes seen as some form of intermission. Well, we can discuss last night's footy or ask Mavis for her cheesecake recipe. The main purpose for the greeting of peace and the reason for where it is placed liturgically is to prepare yourself to be at peace with anyone you may have a grievance with and truly love your neighbour as yourself before you approach the Lord's table. We approach the Lord's table not just with love for the Lord, but also with love for each other. It is by respecting this tradition we are able to keep our church great. Now, some of you may question, how can I stand here with such confidence and proclaim what it is that makes a church great? As I previously mentioned, this has been 10 years in the making. 10 years that concludes today. Here at Holy Trinity Kiwana. God made it so that Holy Trinity Kiwana would be the last place I would be able to immerse myself in the people, location and formation of a church as a student. And it's not hard to see why God placed HTK as the final place to learn as a student. It is from what I have learned over the past 10 years and ultimately the reinforcement of what I've learned through HTK that gives me the confidence to proclaim what I believe makes the church great. From the moment I arrived at HTK, I was made to feel comfortable and welcome. Over the year, I joyfully felt and witnessed not just the love you have for me, but for each other. The love that is here at HTK is so full and powerful that it is not contained by the church walls. It flows to the outer community as well through the efforts of community breakfasts, pride time, pastoral care, nursing homes, and even outreach to Tanzania. Shakespeare once wrote that parting is such sweet sorrow. What a crock. I am struggling to see any sweetness in saying goodbye to you all. I will truly miss every person here, for I realise that each and every person here is unique in their own way, and I shall never meet the same individual again. HTK, the church, has formed me and prepared me for my ongoing ministry. Know that you have largely contributed and influenced my ministry, and that part of HTK will be shared wherever God places me. You may see me a few times before I leave for casino, but soon enough, the back seat will start to be quiet again. As will the car park when the bike so discreetly announces my comings and goings. But I have one final gesture for you all. And for this, I'll need Julie, who has accompanied me for most of my journey over the past 10 years. Sorry, Jules, you can get me back later.
Well, she will.
Julie, if it's okay, I'm going to give you a huge hug. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be huge, because it's for the whole church. And it's to say thank you officially to the whole church. Thank you.
Aww.